from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
And rolling, beautiful Friday, September 6, 2024. We're getting you prepped for the college football week two. We had week one begin of the NFL season last night. Chiefs dispose of the Ravens 27-20. Very, very close. Came down to a toe from Isaiah Likely. But welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I'm alongside the executive producer of the Gabe Kuhn Show. That would be Connor Dunning on X at C99. Connor, how's it going?
Hello.
Good opener. Good opener for the NFL season.
Yeah,
can't
good
complain.
Opener.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Came down to a review that ultimately left Isaiah Likely, who was awesome last night, by the way. Although, after the game, he had some comments that I don't necessarily agree with. It came down to Isaiah Likely and his big feet. I did agree with Patrick Mahomes, what he had to say after the game. Wear white cleats next time. You may not have that type of issue. But we have 2 hours to talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to pass you off to Cardinals versus Mariners around 6 o'clock. I think pregame will get going around 6:20. But we have a loaded 2 hours for you. We'll talk about the Chiefs handling the Ravens. And then I want to get to the new Memphis AD, Ed Scott, on Jeff Hawkins' show this morning. I thought, one, very impressive of him to get in front of a mic with all of this going on. Four coaches fired, NCAA allegations, and an anonymous letter being sent into the NCAA. Got in front of a mic, talked about the situation. Thought that was impressive in itself, but very interesting comments that he had with Jeff. And then I'm going to open the phone lines to you guys. Connor and I have given all the takes we possibly can on this situation. Hell, I hope you saw after the game last night on Action News 5. I was on there a little bit. Got to give my thoughts even more on the 10 o'clock news. But I want to get your guys' opinion. I'm a bit talked out on it. I want to hear what you guys out there have to say on this situation. So we'll open up the phone lines, 901-445-0929, around 4:30, back half of this hour. Also on the show today, in the second hour, we're going to have David Cobb from CBS Sports. We'll talk a little bit about Penny Hardaway and then get into college football week two. And then 5:30, we're going to bring on Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports to get you some picks for the weekend. He'll give you some college football picks, and he'll give you some NFL picks. And then tonight also, I may have to give you a pick on the Eagles versus the Packers in Sao Paulo, Brazil. First Friday night game in Sao Paulo, Brazil that we're ever dealing with. And then we'll end the show on small talk. But the Ravens didn't quite come through. I thought that they'd be able to get through. We didn't quite get the cover. I thought it was going to be +3, +3.5. But, hey, 27-20, Chiefs get over top. And quite frankly, the first thing I have to bring up is Lamar. Lamar Jackson, that stat line looked great. 26 for 41, 273, 1 TD, 16 carries for 122. Did not have a touchdown there. Derrick Henry got taken out of the game early. I thought they should have attacked that a little bit more, more read option concepts. But at the end of the day, even with that statistic that I just brought up, all the line that he ended up having, if you were a box score watching, you thought Lamar had a great game, and I thought he was okay for the most part. He missed the most crucial moments. At the very end of the game, you get down there. I thought they wasted way too much time, by the way, Connor, getting down there. I don't know what has happened to clocking the ball, but everybody just wants to get on the ball and try to run a play. Ran it down to about 10 seconds. It was strange. But on first down, he misses Isaiah Likely, and then he gets hurt, so he's out for second down, and that's probably your best red zone target. Second down, horrible miscommunication. I don't know if it was a miscommunication or he just straight up missed Zay Flowers. Sounded like after the game that Lamar admitted he just missed Zay Flowers wide open in the back of the end zone. I do realize there are very few quarterbacks that even get that throw off, but that was a bad miss for a guy that we consider an MVP and a all-pro just year in, year out. And then third down, I thought it was a good ball, right? But it shouldn't have come down to that. You had a chance on first and second down to take advantage, but Isaiah Likely catches the ball in the back of the end zone and his toe is out, and you lose the game because of that. And I have to say, I am worried about Lamar Jackson this year. I'm worried about his health for the most part, because I don't know if you watched last night, he did not slide or take plays off. He broke the pocket and scrambled a whole lot. That's why he had 16 carries for 122 yards, but he's not playing behind a good offensive line, and he is taking unnecessary hits. He needs to slide a whole lot more. And in the first half of last night's game, Lamar faced pressure very, very quickly. The times to pressure for Lamar in the first half, 2.1 seconds, 2.2 seconds twice, 2.5 seconds, another 2.2 seconds, 2.7 seconds, and 2.4. Chris Jones absolutely took advantage of a young right guard who could not move his feet very well. Daniel Falele, I believe is his name. But he's a little bit too big, a little slow-footed. I'm worried about Lamar Jackson this year and the health he's going to possess throughout the season. We've seen him, you know, 2 and 3 years ago miss the back half of the season because of injuries and taking hits like that. And he's lost some weight. So it's definitely a frustrating reality if you're a Ravens fan at this current moment. But honestly, you see the differences between a guy like Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson is asked to make the throws late in a game, you can't really count on him like you can Patrick Mahomes. And I don't think there's any other quarterback in the NFL that you can count on like Patrick Mahomes. But every time he breaks the pocket, every time he's able to move his feet outside of the pocket, you know he's going to find Travis Kelce or Rashee Rice or somebody down the field. I do think it was a very, very good opener for Xavier Worthy. How about that? You have Xavier Worthy in fantasy, you feel pretty good about yourself. Sorry, Connor, I know you kept him on the bench last night. Are you okay from that? Or
I also have Mark Andrews. I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, but Xavier Worthy, 2 catches for 47 yards, a nasty, disgusting blown coverage by Marlon Humphrey that I can't quite understand. I didn't really get that. He had a one high safety look, and he thought he was going to have safety help. That's a terrible miscommunication that ultimately led to the Chiefs getting an easy touchdown that put them over the top. Rashee Rice was great, 7 catches for 103 yards. I thought it was a very good opener for the Chiefs. But I do think the Ravens mismanaged that game toward the end, and also I think they mismanaged in the middle of the game. You had that read option concept working in the first half with Derrick Henry and with Lamar Jackson. They completely went away from it. I don't really understand their thought process. You have a guy like Derrick Henry who can take the ball 20 times, 20-plus times per game. You give him the ball 13 times and only give him goal line work. Didn't make a whole lot of sense for me. Now, also for the Ravens, Isaiah Likely is awesome. If you're a Mark Andrews owner in fantasy, I feel bad. I am in one of my leagues a Mark Andrews owner. But he only had 2 catches for 14 yards. Isaiah Likely, to me, is the clear tight end number one. He was laying great blocks late in that game. He really came through late in that game. But 9 catches, 111 yards, 1 TD. He had the touchdown when Lamar Jackson was scrambling out of the pocket, made a really good move, got down the sideline, scored a touchdown to bring them within 7. But he seems to be the tight end one. Now, I do want to bring up what he said after the game. Connor, do we have the clip? We have this clip here. This is what Isaiah Likely said after the game. A little bit of sour grapes, and then we'll talk about it.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the post.
Okay, Isaiah, here's what I'll say. It's game one for everybody.
That's
game one
come
for
back.
You and the Ravens.
That's going to be bad.
Game one for you and the Chiefs. That can come back to haunt you pretty substantially. That is not the best that the Chiefs have. They didn't run the ball very well. They, you know, Patrick Mahomes threw a pick, which has become, you know, few and far in between over the years. You do need to be careful about speaking that way toward the Chiefs. They use that as motivation, and that I would almost bet by the time we get to the playoffs could come back to haunt Isaiah Likely and the Ravens. But, you know, Isaiah Likely, I do appreciate what you were able to put on the field, but in the end of the day, I think it's insane to think that's the best the Chiefs can put out there on the field.
It sounds like, to me, just based on the way you're breaking down the game and how you've talked about it, you think the Ravens lost the game than the Chiefs winning.
I think the Ravens lost the game for a couple of reasons. I'll get to the other reason. But I think the Ravens mismanaged what they were doing on the offensive side of the ball. There was a fourth down and three early in that game where they just threw a flat route to Zay Flowers. Now, I understand that Nelson Aguilar, who was the wide receiver out there, could have laid the block on Trip McDuffie to go get the first down. But I will stand by this forever and always. That's a bad play call for one reason and one reason only. When you get to a third or fourth down with Lamar Jackson and you don't give him optionality and you just decide, hey, we're going to throw it out to the flat, let Zay Flowers go cook, I think that's a stupid play call for the Ravens. Why would you not, with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson who can use his legs and use his arm, why would you not give him optionality on a third or fourth and short? It seems foolish to me, that type of play call. But I do think the Ravens lost this game. I do think the Ravens lost this game more than the Chiefs went and won it.
When I was watching it, I did have the feeling that the Ravens were going really hard. Like, they were really trying to win that game. And the Chiefs were kind of just walking through it. Like, it did feel like that they were just kind of going through the motions and that their talent every once in a while was just like, oh, yeah, we got the fastest receiver. We got Patrick Mahomes. Oh, yeah, we got Chris Jones. Like, just every once in a while, it's just their talent would flash. And it was just, it felt demoralizing in a way for the Ravens because every single time it felt like they were about to take control of the game.
And what never ceases to amaze me,
Lamar had to do so much. Yeah, that was course, the thing. He just had to do so much.
He still doesn't have the weapons on the outside. I think Zay Flowers is a good number two, but Rashad Bateman still is not shown as an outside receiver that can really make things happen. Zay Flowers is their best receiver by a long shot, but I think even he gets sort of bogged down and slowed down because they don't have other weapons on the outside that they can take advantage of. Isaiah Likely is going to be massive for them this season. But yeah, I sort of agree with your sentiment there. The Chiefs just ended up, you know, in the end of the day, making the plays that the Ravens couldn't in crucial moments. Patrick Mahomes, what I was going to say, never ceases to amaze me. Whenever you do not tackle him in the pocket and he breaks the pocket, he is going to make a play and convert on third down. Every single time. Get him on the ground. I know it's easier said than done, but good Lord, Ravens, that should have been a massive, massive point of contention this week in practice, and they seem to screw that up a few times throughout the middle parts of that game. Now, I'm not going to be the NFL is rigged guy. I will never be that guy. But the officiating, let's get to it. Ronnie Stanley on the first drive of the game, second play of the game, gets a illegal procedure penalty because he was offline. He ended up getting like four or five throughout the game. The left tackle for the Ravens. I thought his alignment was pretty good. And the reason I say I thought his alignment was pretty good because I looked on the other side for the Chiefs and Juwan Taylor, who this point of emphasis that got Ronnie Stanley last night, that's what the point of emphasis was for. Juwan Taylor in the first game and throughout the year last year was constantly way back in the backfield, off the line, and always, always false starting. I mean, just consistently false starting. He did the same thing last night, yet they called it consistently on the Ravens. I did not understand that. You could penalize Juwan Taylor every pass play last night, the right tackle for the Chiefs. I do not understand why they didn't do it and why they made it all on Ronnie Stanley. And Ronnie Stanley, after the game, said, man, I thought I was lined up okay. We knew it was a point of emphasis. We talked about it in camp, and I lined up how I did in camp when they didn't call it, and they called it every single time last night. But Juwan Taylor didn't get penalized for illegal procedure once last night. He only got penalized for false starting, which he does on every single pass play. That, to me, that was not called on both sides. I thought this was a game that definitely favored the Chiefs when the whistles came. This game definitely favored the Chiefs. Also, there was two calls that I thought were very, very questionable that gave the Chiefs, spotted the Chiefs some good, you know, field position, ultimately gave them a touchdown on one of them. Justin Madubuike on that roughing the passer as they started the second half. Isaiah Pacheco ended up running it in after that. It was a second and 20. Second and 20. Justin Madubuike comes around on a twist and hits Patrick Mahomes within a half second of him releasing the ball. He already had his forward momentum. They call the roughing the passer. He didn't land on him either. He didn't do anything that, you know, by the book, to me, looked like a roughing the passer. Yet they spot Patrick Mahomes that 15 yards. And, of course, when you give them that, put them in the red zone, they're ultimately going to go score because they are that talented. Then there was another play. Tyler Linderbaum, on a 29-yard run from Lamar Jackson, got flagged for a holding. Got flagged for a holding. One of the biggest plays for the Ravens all night, got called back because they called a holding on Tyler Linderbaum. Tyler Linderbaum was behind the play. He seemed to let go when he needed to of the defensive lineman. And the defensive lineman had no chance of making that play. It was an interior defensive lineman after Lamar Jackson had passed him. And they threw that flag, put the Ravens back, nullified a 29-yard gain. I thought it was a very lopsided whistle. I don't know what you think about it, Connor, but to me, it really ruined a lot of the most of the middle of the game last night, watching how that game was officiated.
There's no doubt about it. There is a Chiefs slant with the officiating. It's just there's no way that you can watch a football game with the Chiefs right now and just say that it is the same whistle for both sides. It's simply not. And you can just look at the offensive line. Look at how that's being officiated every single time. It is crazy the difference.
He's getting, like, Juwan Taylor is getting away with murder, and Ronnie Stanley can't get away with anything.
I mean, it's so obvious that, like, you don't need slow motion to see it. He is so obviously jumping early.
And they called it twice last night, I think?
Crazy.
It was nuts to me. It ruined a lot of the game for me last night. Very frustrating to watch that game. And I know I picked the Ravens, but I ultimately don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not going to lose my mind over my betting interest. But looking at how that was officiated really frustrated
me. I think the biggest issue is that it was so clearly both teams are being officiated in different ways. And I think that is what is frustrating. Like, yes, missed calls happen every once in a while.
Sure.
I understand the Chiefs might get a call here or there. But it was just, there was such a specific thing in which both teams are being officiated in a different way that it was so obvious that I do wonder if the NFL is going to have to address it. It was bad. Like, and most people on social media, most media members try to stay away from the referees are really bad,
no
and this
one,
is obvious. Every single person watching that game last night, every single credible person, was like, "This is that. That's bad. That's
it's
really
very,
bad.
Very obvious." Now I want to move on to Penny Hardaway. We will talk about the game tonight. We have Friday Night Football: Eagles minus the 2.5 versus the Packers in Sao Paulo. You're not supposed to wear green, yet they brought two green teams there, but we'll see how it all goes. The stadium looks pretty cool, though. I do like the setup that they have there, but we'll see how that game goes, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But I do want to get back into Penny Hardaway. Fired four coaches earlier this week on Monday night into Tuesday, and then you had the anonymously sourced letter that was sent into the NCAA by the Memphis Athletic Department. Now, Ed Scott, I do want to give him an applause for showing up on Jeff Calkins' show today. That's something that a lot of ADs would avoid. This is not an easy thing to talk about, yet he still did. Now, what he had to say with Jeff, I thought there was definitely some politics involved with what he had to say. First thing that was sort of put to rest by Ed Scott, he was asked about if the firing of the four Memphis basketball coaches was related to a potential NCAA investigation for the alleged rules violations for Malcolm Dandridge and the academic fraud that is being alleged. He said the timing of this was coincidental. This was not a reactionary move to any pending NCAA investigation. This was a basketball decision. Now, I agree with the basketball part of that. It was a basketball decision, but I don't think that it had nothing to do with the NCAA investigation. I think there was probably a conversation, we're going to do this for basketball, but if we cut ties with these guys and it does mitigate some of the issues we will have with the NCAA, that is a good as well. I do not think he was being fully forthright with that, but I do agree that it was a basketball decision. Then he went on to say, because this is something I've been hanging my hat on, he answered it in just about how I would expect him to answer it. I think he came in late July, it's It's been about 7 weeks since he has officially taken the job, and he probably talked to Penny Hardaway. This is not how we run a great basketball program. A lot of the great basketball programs around the country don't run into these issues, especially in September. But he said Penny Hardaway is our basketball coach, and these were his decisions. That's the first thing I want to clear up for everybody. But then in the same breath, he went on to say that he came in and gave some advice and talked with Penny about the state of the program. So I would imagine there were some suggestions that ultimately Penny took, heeded his advice and made these decisions. But in the end of the day, Ed Scott put it on his shoulders to go make the right decisions that Ed was sort of putting out there for him. It sort of lines up with what we have been saying all week, Gunnar.
Yeah, no, I agree. It just, to me, it seemed like Ed Scott came in and he saw a bit of a mess and it needed to be cleaned up. And you were able to kill a few birds with one stone by getting rid of some of these coaches. And
still bad timing, still chaotic.
The timing might be coincidental, but at the same time, I do still think it was advantageous. Like, yeah. Just because it's coincidental doesn't mean that it wasn't an advantage for you to be able to do that when you did. And then it's very clear that they are moving forward and trying to be transparent about what that letter may or may not have said, because this isn't the way he wants to operate. It has been, we have talked about it, it has been 6 years of drama and chaotic things going on within that program. So he wants to try to wipe the clean slate and say, listen, we still want it to work out with you. We still want it to work out with Penny Hardaway, but things have to change. They can't operate this way any longer. It's not sustainable.
It is simply not
sustainable.
This level of dysfunction over the long haul is not going to work for a program.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Right.
You lose recruits, you lose coaches, you're never able to get the continuity that you want, and that does not yield good results. And I think we saw a lot of that last year. And hopefully going into this year, they can nip that in the bud and have a decent season. He did say for Penny, Penny's a wonderful human being. He's been gracious to me. I treat him no differently than I treat Ryan Silverfield, Brooks Monaghan, and any other of our head coaches. That, to me, actually spoke a little bit more than it did on the surface to a lot of people. Penny Hardaway, under Laird Veach, was not necessarily treated on the same level playing field as the other coaches here at the University of Memphis. He was the meal ticket. He's the guy who's selling tickets, doing a great job of getting all these recruits, creating hype and excitement. And now all of that is flipped on its head. And that's something we've been discussing all week as well. Penny's in a completely different situation here in 2024 with Ed Scott than he was in 2019 with Laird Veach, where he was seemingly untouchable. That spoke to me a little bit more. He is treating Penny on a level playing field as opposed to what we have seen from 2019 to 2023 with Laird Veach. I know that you can read that quote and just say, okay, that's how it is supposed to be. But that is not how it always has been with Penny Hardaway. And then finally, I view this as positive news, no question. I know there's some people out there that are, first name bunch of numbers on X or Twitter that are calling for the firing of Penny Hardaway and the ouster of Penny Hardaway. They've been doing it for a while. But he did say, Ed Scott, new AD at the University of Memphis, that he expects Penny Hardaway to be the head coach for the 2024-25 season. He said, absolutely, unequivocally, based on every piece of information I have today, Penny Hardaway is going to be on that sideline for the Tigers' 2024-25 season opener versus Missouri. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. The best thing for this program is to make it work out with Penny Hardaway. There can be extenuating circumstances that we can talk about later that may lead to talking about getting new leadership here at the University of Memphis. But as of right now, I still stand right there with a lot of people that are saying the best thing for this program is to keep Penny Hardaway in that seat and move forward, because you don't know if the grass is going to be greener on the other side when you move on from Penny Hardaway. As chaotic and dysfunctional as it has been at times, I still think the support for Penny Hardaway is going to be there behind the scenes, because it has to be.
Winning heals all.
That's another thing.
Win basketball games, and we won't be talking about it anymore.
Yeah, so
it's period. Make it to that tournament, and we're going to act like this never happened.
Now that we have a lot of information, and I think it'll be quiet until we get maybe more notice of allegations or something from the NCAA. Now that we have more information, we've heard it from the horse's mouth, the athletic director, new athletic director for the University of Memphis, Ed Scott. We've seen all of the reports. We've seen the coaches fired. We've seen the anonymous letter. Ed has spoken on it. I do feel like I'm talked out. So I want to open the phone lines to you out there, if you are listening to my voice. I want to hear your opinion on this entire situation. I want to hear what you think of Penny Hardaway and the way things have gone over this 6-year tenure. I want to hear what you think about the future of this program after this week of absolute nonsense and chaos. So I'm going to open the phone lines, 901-445-0929, 901-445-0929. Tell me what you think about the state of Memphis basketball after this week. So let's go ahead and grab a break. Again, call 901-445-0929. We'll take your calls next. Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We just covered what Ed Scott said today on the Jeff Calkins Show about the Penny Hardaway coaching fired situation. We had four coaches fired through Monday night into Tuesday. We have an anonymous letter that has been sent to the NCAA alleging allegations with the Memphis basketball program. And then Ed Scott spoke today. So I wanted to get your thoughts. I'm a little bit talked out on it, so let's go ahead. We do have a full lines right now, but keep efforting. And we'll get to your call, hopefully, 901-445-0929. We'll start with Chad. Chad, how's it going?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Well, first of all, I'm a Memphis fan second. I come from a program. I've only been here 2 years, and I want Memphis to succeed and all that. And I come from a program that is opposite of Memphis. Mm-hmm. I just see the coaching carousel at Memphis, you know. Larry Brown was an assistant coach a couple of years ago. Nine staffers are gone this year. You know, he's had number one recruiting classes once or twice, or at least top five, you know, three or four times. And so I really don't know the problem. I don't know if it's coaching, but there's no consistency in the program I come from. The assistant coaches have been there as long as the head coach.
Mm-hmm. No, and I hear you.
It's
constant chaos, Chad. There's no doubt about it. And the truth of the matter is, I don't necessarily need you to drop what program that you're a fan of, but I think in high level programs, you don't see this level of turnover. You don't see things like this happen, especially this close to the season. That's the truth.
Exactly.
Of it.
Yeah. So, but I wish them well because I live here now, and
of course,
second favorite team. So hopefully they can get something turned around.
Yep, 100%. Appreciate it, Chad.
All right.
We're going to move straight into the next call. Deshaun. Deshaun, you're on.
What up, though? How y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing well, man. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Detroit.
I'm a Memphis fan
to the heart when it comes to basketball. Not really a football fan. But it's embarrassing to be a Memphis fan right now. I've been calling for Penny to probably get fired for the longest. That's kind of harsh. It's an unpopular opinion. But, I mean, the guy just... He got the program in an embarrassing state. And I think that Ed Scott really needs to get his foot leveled out the right way and just go ahead and get rid of Penny. I know he said he's not going to do that, but it's time for Penny to go.
Well, and I'll say this, Deshaun, from being out of town and calling in, I bet you hear a lot of other things about this program. I mean, sometimes we can get here in Memphis caught in this little bit of an echo chamber, try to make excuses for things that happen around the program, but you definitely have an outside perspective being in a different city.
Oh, absolutely, most definitely what Juwan Howard just went through. And it's just embarrassing just to see what Memphis has become. I believe it's a great program with great resources, great NIL, but I think it's time for Penn to go.
Okay, appreciate the call, Deshaun. Appreciate the call. I'm not ready to go there. I still think the best thing is for Penny and this program to work it out, but at the same time, there are certain things that you can't avoid. Now we move on. Remember, we have a couple of open lines, 901-445-0929. Tell me what you think about the state of Tiger basketball after all of the news we've had this week. Now, I believe I'm talking to Terrell or Gerald. Terrell, Gerald? Is it Gerald?
It's Terrell with a T.
Okay, Terrell, there we go. You're on now. Let me know.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Born and raised in Memphis. I've been following the Memphis basketball program. It's a family. We blue blood. Been following Penny since he was at Treadwell, so I'm a huge fan. But at the same time, I think this should be Penny's do-or-die year, and it should be on him. I don't think he should put the university in the position of making another Larry Finch situation. He should come out. If he don't do what he's supposed to do this year for his city, for his university, he should step aside. Don't put the university and Ed in his new AD position of having to turn the city in a middle way, having half the people mad and half the people happy. This is his year. Too many violations, too many years of not making a tournament. And when Pastner, with his record of more tournament appearances than Penny, we was asking for him to get fired.
Yep. Yep, and here's the thing. I think there's a lot of fans out there that I've talked to this week, and you're probably in that same exact camp, Terrell. It just feels like people are tired of making excuses. People are tired of, you know, the constant turnover and the constant chaos. They're tired of making excuses for Penny Hardaway and this staff and this program, step after step after step. Defending yourself, having to defend yourself every single year is a frustrating reality.
And everything is constantly changed. You've changed staffs every year. You have the turnover in your roster every year. They have changed ADs now. So the only thing left, if this is not fixed, this is the cash cow of the University of Memphis program. They're trying to move to a bigger conference. If the basketball team is not right, we don't move.
That's the only next great point.
The coach.
That's a great point. Terrell, I appreciate the call, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, now, here's one thing I will say with what Terrell had to say. When we talk about getting into a Power Four conference and moving into a different conference, we always talk about all the reasons, you know, the stadium's not updated, the facilities aren't good enough, Olympic sports aren't good enough, don't have enough money running through the program. One thing that we neglect to talk about is the thought process that a lot of these different conferences have on this basketball program. Whether they think it's lawlessness or, you know, just defying the NCAA every step of the way, this program is viewed as a dirty program for better or for worse. And I think that needs to change if they want to take that step up. Now, I believe we have Mike from Memphis on. Mike Bonds joins the program. Mike, how's it going?
What's up, guys?
What's happening, man?
Just driving home from Blue Oval. I do really echo a lot of the same sentiments, especially from the last caller. The necessity to get into a Power Four conference. You're eliminating all these other second-tier football programs. They're being absorbed, and they're going to the Big 12 and ACC and stuff. And so the USFs and the Memphises and the Tulanes, we're all sort of on the same plane.
Mm-hmm.
This basketball program is what really is the premier deal in catching people's eyes. And, you know, other conferences' thought process on our program being maybe dirty, maybe not, whatever. Just win, Penny. You put yourself in such a peculiar position with some of the coaching changes and the other chaos, as you have said. You've put yourself in a major spotlight and a very prime time of this program when we're trying to make this jump. You've got to go out here and win. You don't even have your premier roster probably that you would need to make this type of run, but we really, really are depending on him to make this type of run at this time. His schedule is outrageous this year.
Yep.
And so if he can really make some noise, I mean, it'll alleviate a lot of
winning cures all, Mike. I will never disagree with that.
Yeah. So just win, Penny.
Yep. I hear you. Appreciate it, Mike. Now, I will say, 901-445-0929, tell me what you think about what has happened in the past week, the chaos, the turnover in the coaching staff, everything else. But what I have seen so far through these callers, Connor, seems like we don't have a lot of people that are willing to make the excuses and defend what is going on with this program right now. That's what I'm seeing very, very, you know, out front right this second.
No, I agree. I think it's what we talked about yesterday. It's everybody wants this thing to work out with Penny Hardaway, but we're tired.
Yep.
People are tired.
100%. Now, 901-445-0929 is the number to call to tell me what you think about this Memphis basketball program, especially with all this chaos the past week. We bring on Brandon. Brandon, how's it going?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Going well. Going well.
Yeah, I just want to... Hello?
Yeah, well, I got you, Brandon. I got you, I think.
All right, my man. Hey, I just wanted to say I just moved down here back from Nashville. I found the station. You guys are awesome. I'm glad you put in a segment where people can call. I listen to you every day, all day, and I definitely love this.
Thank you, sir.
I think the state of the basketball team, I think Penny, it just needs an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Everybody got to understand that right now, the University of Memphis basketball team is supposed to be leading us into a new conference. So, football is the moneymaker, but basketball is definitely what's going to lead Memphis, like Louisville and things like that, that led them to a major conference. So Memphis has to be prepared to do that. And if Penny can get his ship right, which I think he will, he just has to get good people around him. But he needs to stay at home, get some more recruits from Memphis. I think he'll be all right.
I agree with you, Brandon. I appreciate the call. Now, one thing I will say from Brandon, and I think that's a fair point. Yeah, football's a moneymaker. Basketball is somewhat of a meal ticket, and it definitely can help University of Memphis getting into a new conference. The truth of the matter is football has held up their end of the bargain. Not a lot, no NCAA investigations, consistency. And I know I speak from a guy who started in 2014. We had that first 10-win season, haven't had a losing season since, haven't neglected to make a bowl game since. But football is holding up their end of the bargain. And you always thought basketball would be the one that always held that up. And right now, it doesn't seem that way. Now, let's go to Joe. Joe, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm doing well. Doing well, Joe.
Okay. Man, I'm like the last caller. I listen all the time, too, man. You guys do a great job. I even listen to Jeff and John in the mornings and all that.
Appreciate it.
But the thing about Penny Hardaway is absurd. For people to come out and want to oust Penny, I mean, I'm getting the vibes of Larry Finch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Larry had a better, at least what, Larry went to the Elite Eight, 16, they still ran him out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what people are saying, it's a lot of haters in Memphis now. And I go forward to saying that's how Larry fell off. He started not the good kids in Memphis. It's like Richmond signing with Arkansas. That was a slap in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, people are hating for no reason.
Well, Joe, let me stop you right there. No reason? Do you not understand why people are frustrated? Let me ask you that.
Why? I mean, he's had some good years. Some small things have happened. Well, I'll say big things, just like the FAU game in the tournament. I mean, small things when Penny had a good record going early in the season last year, them guys just, you know, started hating him. I mean, just quit. So, I mean, the guy to me, I watch it at the game, man.
Mm-hmm.
Penny strives on defense.
Yeah.
And if he don't have a defensive team, whenever he has a good defensive team, they're good. But I'm glad the AD is in there and they understand it. But Stansberry and all them guys he got rid of, that was a good thing. But it's going to be hard to do because the season's going to start. Maybe move Andre Turner. I don't know. But changing horses in the middle of the stream, season's going to start, man. That's going to be a hard decision to make.
I hear you, Joe. It's going to be very, very hard. There's no doubt about it. I think it's some self-inflicted wounds that has definitely led to this. But, Joe, I appreciate the call. There's a lot of things to break down there with Joe. I would tell Joe, I don't think it's hating for no reason. I think that whether it's you view them as small things or big things, enough small things or big things start adding up, it gets frustrating for a fan base that just wants to support you and watch you win. And a lot of these things get in the way of winning. And, you know, as much as you want to support Penny Hardaway, I think criticism is fair. Anybody who is in the position of power leading a program is not above criticism. And Penny Hardaway should not be any different. I understand where Joe comes from. There has been some unnecessary hate throughout his tenure. But right now, I don't care if you think they're big or small things. They're adding up. And they are a massive problem for this athletic department, whether you want to get to a Power Four, whether you want this basketball program to just succeed, those things start to get in the way and start to be frustrating for a fan base. Now, we do have a couple open lines, 901-445-0929, taking calls on what you think about Memphis basketball after this week of news. We bring on Mike. Mike, you're on.
What's up, man? Love your show.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Man, I just want to piggyback kind of what that guy, well, I don't say piggyback, but kind of comment on what he's saying. You know, even when we look at, like, the not getting Billy Richmond or Curtis Givens Jr., man, we got to look at, like, it's the chaotic thing and how the program is being run. I wouldn't mm-hmm. send my child here either. You know, and I love Memphis. Like, I love it, like.
Sure.
The SMU game, man, we won, and even the one that we lost, like, man, that was big. Like, this program is so big and huge for our city. I know we got the Grizzlies, but it's nothing like that Tiger Blue.
Yep. If there was less chaos, Mike, I would say this. If there was less chaos, you'd get some more of these guys. If you had some leadership that definitely got a hold on these things and made it seem as if everything was under control, you'd be able to get a Billy Richmond, maybe a Curtis Givens, a lot of these other recruits that have been leaving the city that are that have legendary dads here in the city. It's just frustrating to see how this has all played out.
And man, I'm not saying we should call for the, you know, we want Penny to go, But at the end of the day, this is a business. And at some point, he's going to have to produce, but not only just win, you have to win the right way. I mean, it has to be done the right way. Like, this is not a high school program.
Yep. I agree with you.
College. It's like a big time program, and it has to be ran the right way, you know. And I just hope that Penny, you know, he gets the right someone in his ear that's really is going to tell him the truth, whether it hurts his feelings or not.
Yep.
You know, to get him right, you know.
100%.
Sometimes we need that. If we ain't got that around us, you know, he had a tough job. He coming from high school to college. And not just a little college, you coming to a major university. That was big for even anybody, you know. So
yep.
So he got to figure it out. But I'm with the other college. I think he got one more year.
Yeah, it's an inflection point. Go win, and everything will be fixed for the most part.
I think he's gonna pull it out. We praying for him.
Yep, Mike, appreciate it. I will say from Mike, I do think, you know, winning of course cures all. But I agree with him. I just feel like when you talk about the in-city, in-state recruits, guys like that we've always had percolating through this program, if you had less chaos, a lot of those guys may commit. Now we have Tony. Tony joins the program. How are you, Tony?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm probably about 4 or 5 years older than Penny. I graduated from the University of Memphis, or Memphis State University, and, you know, followed the Tigers. Unfortunately, I only had one of my five kids that actually went to Memphis State.
The
other four went to SEC school, so I kind of had to follow some of them as well. But I've had kids who've grown up playing AAU basketball, and I've watched Penny from afar, you know, with his programs, and man, he's probably one of the best assemblers of a team.
Sure.
That I've ever seen.
Yep,
I mean he had the best kids. He had he had what looked like the best program as far as that goes. And when you got that at that level, AAU, high school, you're going to win regardless. You don't even have to be a good coach. If you got the best players, you're going to win. Okay.
Yep.
You got to do some coaching. But now he's into a situation where I think it's just gotten too big for him. I mean, I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saw him play probably most of his home games when he was in high school, at the University of Memphis. And I think he's, like I said, I think he needs to be somewhere in the program.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure if he needs to be the head guy.
Okay. I hear you, Tony. I appreciate the call, man. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. What he said about team building. Right, I think Penny Hardaway's done a good job of assembling talent. I will never, ever doubt Penny Hardaway, no matter what the clock looks like or the calendar looks like, he's going to bring in talent. But in the end of the day, one thing that I've always said that some people have pushed back on, the program building. You have to have non-negotiables. You have to have continuity. You have to have understanding if you're a player or a coach of what is expected of you. You have to have people hold other people accountable, and I have not seen that. Now, we have time for about three more callers. We have two on the line, 901-445-0929. Let's bring on Mike G. Mike, how's it going?
Good. I used to talk to you on the other day.
Yes, sir. Mike, how are you, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah. I mean, these two things about the money is everybody knows, or anybody knows anything, that the kid that didn't take the money is the kid from Boise State.
Yep.
And the $30,000 was for
DeAndre Williams.
Yeah, so, I mean, and he didn't come, so, and it was during the deal. So I think that's, to me, a little bogus threat there. I don't know who sent that threat, but, and I think also nobody, when Penny was 15-2, was complaining and wanting to be getting fired.
Nope. I
will tell you a little story about Florida State. They had a coach down there called Hugh Durham. You probably don't know who he is, but he had four great kids coming back from his previous team. Yeah, they were great. He could get this one junior college dad that was, he knew was a bad apple. But these four kids were such good kids, he thought they'd rub off on him. Well, it turned out the other way. He rubbed off on them.
Yep.
And they had a losing season. So what I'm saying is I think Penny ran into a problem where these guys almost quit on him. They were more worried about themselves. And once you're in the season, there's not much you can do about it. Now, Penny needs to stop being an employment agency for his friends. Part of that's the problem here is
yes, men in the corner.
Buddies, if they need a job, and they aren't worth crap. You know what I mean? Man, it's just as simple as I say. Now, I always have a question on radio with people that call in. I had. I'm legally blind now, so I don't go to any of the games. But I used to buy four tickets to the football and the basketball for years. And I always wondered in radio, some people throw their opinion out, but they don't go to games. And they had a guy years ago, Dave Lotion had a show, and the guy would call in and complain about the pyramid. Oh, it's so dangerous down there. And Dave told him, said, well, we checked it out, and they had one car break in and all downtown. What do you think about that? And he went, they said, better than that, we'll pick you up and we'll drop you off front the door. Will you come? And he went, no. And the guy said, well, don't call anymore.
I got you, Mike. Well, appreciate the call, man. Appreciate the call. Yes, sir. One thing I will say about Mike and his example, I can't really speak to the back half of that, but what I will say about his Florida State example is I do think, and we have called for this, Connor, is more vetting of the people you're bringing into the program. Whether it's coaches, whether it's players, you just need to understand their personality and how it's going to rub off and how it's going to, you know, affect the locker room. And I think there's been a little bit of a miss there. He's had some good ones, though. In 2022, Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams, all the guys he brought in, great. But then last year, you had issues with that. The team didn't seem to like each other. Now we only have time for one more call, and it's going to be Noah. Noah, how's it going?
Hey, it's going all right. I'm a great fan of the show. I've been following you since you started. Lifelong Tiger fan here.
Yes, sir.
All I was trying to say is there are some very disillusioned fans that have called in on some part. Like Penny has – he's done the best he could, but I think it's time to go. Like Tong Mimpian, there are so many people that aren't following this whole drama, all these storylines from the last 6 years. And I'll give it to Ed Scott. He has a hard job. Let's be honest. Like, do you let him go now and let the season just be a bad season because you're without a head coach, or do you let him hang on and try to fight for his job? So it's really a tough call for Ed Scott.
Yeah, I agree with you, Noah. Appreciate the call. I will say my opinion on that. I really think that they should absolutely try to let him play it out and take it, you know, word for word, bar for bar. If Ed Scott has some suggestions, he should probably take those, heed those, and move forward. But I don't think firing him right now before the season would be anything good for the program, long-standing, short-standing, whatever you think. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense at this current moment. I appreciate all the calls. Definitely got some good talkers in there. I'm glad everybody got that off their chest. But I do have to tell you, before we get into the second hour with David Cobb, whether you're trying to grab some spirits and get a drink in you to alleviate the pain of what we've seen from Memphis basketball, or you're just trying to watch College Football Week 2, NFL Week 1, make sure you buy a spirit from Old Dominic. Old Dominic is the brand we have in town, Old Dominic Distillery. And I know how tempting it is when you show up to the liquor store on a Friday, Thursday or Friday. I know how tempting it is to buy the national brand, but don't do that anymore. Reach for that local brand we have, Old Dominic Distillery. They have gin, vodka, toddy, whiskey, bourbon. Love the whiskey. Love the bourbon. They have a 90.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
0.1 proof bottle of bourbon that I absolutely love. You can drink it on ice, drink it straight, mix it with your favorite cocktail. You're absolutely going to love it. It's the most fresh, most full spirit you can buy in this city is one from Old Dominic, because the distillery is right here, right on the riverfront. 305 South Front Street is where you can find them. They have events all the time. You can check them out at olddominic.com. You can also book a tour and tasting there. You can ship Old Dominic spirits and get them as a gift. Go to olddominic.com to check that out. And always remember that they're the official spirit of the Memphis Grizzlies. So they have two bar locations inside FedEx Forum. And when you go to FedEx Forum to watch a Tiger game, watch a Grizzlies game, concert, comedian, make sure that you get to one of those two bar locations to enjoy a craft cocktail made by Old Dominic. Old Dominic Distillery wants me to tell you to come by and say hi. Now, we're going to go ahead and probably stick to this conversation for at least a little bit with David Cobb. Then I want to talk some college football week two. But hour number two is on the way right here on a Friday on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.